Full Service Radio is proudly supported and hosted by Simplecast, the easiest way for a podcast creator to publish and distribute audio on the internet. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
Full Service Radio. Welcome to the Dolcezza Sherber Experience on Full Service Radio. We are live from the Line Hotel. I am Violeta Edelman from Dolcezza Gelato, and I'm here with my partner in crime,
Rob Duncan, also of Dolcezza Gelato.
We make gelato in Washington, D.C., and we are here today with Ben Ashworth and Anthony Smallwood. Ben and Anthony are both skateboarders. They are founding members of the legendary D.C. Fight Club, and we'll talk more about that very soon. They're both artists, and we are very excited to have you guys. Welcome, and thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
I mentioned Fight Club, and Anthony, you were already telling us stories. We have friends in common, and you were telling us about... Well, first of all, let's tell people listening, what was Fight Club?
Well, okay, so real quick, Fight Club was just a skateboard, art, music, performance space. Kind of a rough space that Ben and myself initially founded that quickly just got swamped by a million personalities, and it just went in a bunch of different directions. It was really cool, but nothing was ever really planned, but every once in a while we would get our shit together and do something like what we were talking about earlier, which is have a photo show for David Allen Harvey, you know, Magnum legend, and we would clean up very well, the place would look great, all the while, like Ben was saying earlier, chaos about, you know, crazy wall rides, blood, mayhem, all the good stuff. And it was really cool. I think the city misses it, and we're just hoping to keep that spirit alive with other actions and activities.
When was the years of the Fight Club? Birth and death?
We were wrapping up Green Skate Lab in 2003. Is that right?
2003, four.
Yeah. And Anthony and I were leaving the site after a particularly bitterly cold day, having some libations to warm ourselves up, and I was telling him how I'm a terrible dancer, but I can skate my ass off, and I really needed to meet my future wife.
Doing the same thing.
We had this idea. Wait, what'd you say?
I'm just listening to your techniques to pick up some chicks.
Yeah, I needed a
skateboarders. Yeah. You know, that's the way. That's how I got my girl.
I always dated
build
skateboarders.
A warehouse.
My whole life, skateboarders.
Warehouse,
yeah,
punk
yeah.
rock.
Yeah. I have something
art,
for skateboarders.
Skateboarders, surfing.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I was looking for a place to build a nest where I could do my little dance, and I had this idea. I've captured lots of glimpses of DIY sessions over the years where. People activate spaces and
glimpses in the mind's eye, you mean? Like when you say that?
Spaces where an expanded conception of self can happen, where you might have musicians and skateboarders and builders and other makers occupying territories where there's not quite enough room to do what you would normally do in your own studio. So you have this luxury of collisions and cross pollination. Anthony said, man, I got this buddy, Dan Zeman, who's overseeing the space in Blagden Alley. You got to meet him. And we rolled across the bridge, and I met Dan. I don't think Dan had any shoes on, and it was cold. and he said, oh, yeah, I'm overseeing these spaces for this my landlord. And we kind of went from there and ended up, I think, creating a deliberate space where people didn't have quite enough territory to do what they would normally do, so that they would improvise with one another and stumble and fail and
discover new territories. It's kind of like the sum of the parts, right?
That's right.
It's like on your own you do one thing, but when you get in a group you do, it's like a total different manifest or result.
Yeah.
And what happens when you improvise, and what's the result of that? That is not planned.
That
it's
involves
never
a little bit of like the risk into the unknown, right? Like, what the fuck is going to happen when
Which
I do
Which is very related to skateboarding, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that what you do when you go out?
You're improvising at the city.
Yeah.
The moving city around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the landscape, streetscape. Yeah.
Right.
So that was in your mind. You actually had these ideas. You weren't like a random
So,
like,
but
hey,
tell me though,
time
frame
crazy.
Though,
no,
when
you were
was
thinking
that?
About these
what year was that when you were coming across the bridge with Anthony and you met Dan and Nicole?
It was toward the end of Vans, right? And that was 2004?
Yeah, Vans was wrapping up and we knew we were going to get kicked out. But, you know, prior to
Vans
that...
Vans was a skate...
Skate bowl here, like
skate
in
bowl.
Maryland, was it? Or in the district?
It was
Virginia.
It got dismantled, right?
Okay. On the East Coast, yeah. Okay. Steve Van Doren started opening up Van skate parks. And we fortunately had one in Woodbridge. And we also had a really healthy backyard scene where we were building. We had like a 80,000-gallon koi pond, quotes around that. it was a skatable barbecue, putt-putt feature. Where a lot of people were coming together and making things. And I think we realized, why not take this to the city? And I had met Anthony, who was doing a bunch of underground downhill races in the city, not unlike what we were doing in our backyard scene in Woodbridge. And I think we just decided to join forces.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. Well, I wanted to ride some round wall like these guys. Still trying.
Yeah. Recovering, right?
Yeah, slowly getting there.
So then you had the you ended up with the largest indoor bowl on the East Coast. Is that right? And some of the best parties, underground shows and parties. So tell me some of the like.
Not it wasn't the largest.
It wasn't the largest.
That's a magazine.
That's
quote.
An internet rumor.
The press. They'll always get it wrong, right?
You can just say yes, of course.
No, because
I let
it was
press
far from that.
Spin its own version. There's something about when you talk to the press about whatever, and they always most of the time need edits to get the story right because whatever reason they don't really hear what you said to them when you sit down and talk to them.
Right.
And I never. Ever correct them in their story. So there's to have 10 different versions that's going on. So nobody really can get to the truth unless they know you. Right?
Okay.
I kind of like that whole.
I totally agree. But I got to give cred where cred is due. Skatopia in Rutland, Ohio. Devin McGuire, one of the main forces behind East Coast Round Wall.
Ah.
Devin worked on the Punisher. It's
so,
called
so
the
Skatopia,
for a
that thing is like that thing that the it's outdoor with all the anarchist punks with
indoor.
Fires.
Well,
and
it didn't used to be crazy
that's Skatopia,
like that. It
right?
didn't used to be crazy like that.
Huh.
What they built was an indoor bowl that was so deep, a lot of people couldn't get out of it. They had to have grip tape on the waterfall so you can run up and get out. I think that was probably the biggest indoor wooden structure.
Did you ever go to that place?
Oh, yeah. I would go there and blow off steam once a year. We burned our car. And they ran it over with bulldozers. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, other people did
good old days.
Good old,
days.
Man.
Yeah, we're bringing it to the city.
When you could do that stuff and you wouldn't be on a watch list or anything, right?
Well, they brought a lot of money into the town. So the local police were cool with it. But black smoke coming off of the compound was kind of wild.
Black smoke off the compound. You could apply that to a lot of different things that didn't go so well. So black smoke off the compound.
So, Anthony, you're a photographer, right?
I am.
Or is that an internet rumor, too?
That's an internet rumor, actually. I got lucky every once in a while.
So you documented this 5 years of the Fight Club, correct?
I did, actually. I shot probably 15,000 photos and about 50 hours of footage. There were times when I had my video camera in my left hand just recording straight out, and then I would actually shoot and compose photos with my right.
With that much footage, have you ever thought about or been approached about doing some kind of
we're producing a documentary now.
Tell me about
I mean, we're in the early stages. We're working with a gentleman named Chris Tuss, who was with Run Riot Films.
Yeah.
He did the DC.
With Josh Kogan, who worked with them. And who's the main
Dave.
Guy? Dave.
Dave Adams.
Dave Adams.
Yeah, of course.
I used to work with Dave.
Josie,
at
of course, yeah.
Geographic.
Right on.
I used to be an intern. I used to sit in Dave's equipment room next
really?
To Dave.
Yes. Okay, so that's how you know all these AJ,
Matt Ramsey,
David Allen Harvey, and all these people.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
Yeah. All right, cool. Did not know.
That's the seed.
Yeah, yeah.
From my intern days. Anyway, so you're working on a documentary.
So we are, and we've kind of drawn up our interview list, and we're kind of going through all the clips, marking the stuff we want. We're gathering content from other people, and then we're gonna. start chopping away at it. I mean, it's going to be a long, you know, it's a long process. It's not our focus. We're doing it Friday night. It's like, let's get wild on Friday night, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. and edit a Fight Club film. Like, that's what we do. He puts the kids to bed and, you know, I would chill and edit. So that's cool. What's going on right now.
Is there a book also in the plans?
Yeah, at some point I'll do a book on that. But right now, you know, I'm focusing on the film with Chris.
So awesome. Ben mentioned that you were downhill skateboarding, right, when you met him. So tell us about what is that? what were you doing?
Well, what we really like started doing. Street.
Kind of intense. Like
13th is a fun hill, but we used to actually have contests on 15th Street going up next to Malcolm X Park. The city actually closed that down for us 3 years, like for 8 hours, cops blocking off all the roads leading to it. And we had downhill heats coming down that hill, turning onto Dogleg Right onto New Hampshire. And that would be the finish line. I mean, it wasn't like the most, you know, the gnarliest hill. I mean, the stuff we were competing on out in California was 50, 60 mile an hour, mile and a half court, like just crazy stuff. But this was cool because it was urban. It was downtown. You know, it was really not that sketchy of a run, but it was fun.
It reminds me of GX1000 out in San Francisco.
Right.
Just like watching those guys bomb the hills in San Francisco, in and out of cars and traffic and the subway lines. It's hardcore watching those guys, because one little slip and it's
you have to commit to a line.
Yeah,
really,
it's like, real. I mean, and Jake Phelps of Thrasher, now
how
he just got
shit. Oh my god.
Yeah, and put him in the hospital.
It really did.
Gnarly. That.
Yeah. Didn't have a helmet on.
Yeah.
No way is Jake gonna put on a helmet. No, could have used one.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so we really, my crew, we were kind of mostly surfers. So we liked to, but we lived in the city. We traveled a lot to surf. But when we're home, we would grab longboards and bomb hills. You know, heavy bottom turns would be a sharp left or a right, you know, hit by traffic. And then we started having contests. And then I met Ben and we started doing Fight Club. And I stopped downhilling because it felt like Fight Club could end at any time. Like, you know, maybe next week it's gone. I mean, it could burn down. The authorities could lose. Just a million possibilities. So you wanted to get in as much as you could. So I really gave up downhill for like 5 years. And that's, you know, every day you thought it would be over. And next thing you know, 5.5 years go by. And it finally ended. And I went back out to downhill. I met this kid. We were skating in a contest. He's like, hey, do you skate pools? I'm like, yeah, you know, if there's one around. Well, my girlfriend's dad just bought a house with a pool and they're going to tear it out, said we could skate it, you want to go? And like, so we like left the contest and stopped downhilling again and started pool skating.
And that's what got you into the pool skating?
Yeah, and we've had like maybe 15 in the last couple of years. So
tell me more about that. Tell
Pool skating, stay on that.
We just like find people who have, like, we go into neighborhoods that are from the 60s and 70s. A lot of people are older, their houses have kind of fallen in a little disrepair, people stop swimming in the pool many years earlier, and we'll make an offer, we'll fix your gutter if you let us drain your pool and skate it. And there's a lot of really cool people in PG County, and we get more yeses than we get nos. So
you currently
we have a crew pool right now as we speak. We had 5 guys out in Kettering, Maryland. They were draining a vacant house, and the owners just showed up. Like, I'm getting texts as we're talking about, they got chased out, and anyway, so that one was a bust. But anyway. So
how nasty are these pools?
Some are really, like, some of them we have to throw our clothes away. I mean, you can't even clean, like, don't even try to clean them. Just toss them, drive home in your boxers.
If you want a skateboard, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's like, I mean, that's why, that's what's so cool about all this stuff. Like, it takes
hard work,
you know,
right?
You can't just show up and do it. I mean, Ben knows, and Ben is really, like, we're about that work ethic. Like, that's the only way this shit gets done. And I've had guys
school,
at pools,
you know?
That I didn't know, that other people bought, who just wouldn't contribute. I'd be like, hey, take this shovel for a minute, man. Like, to give him a chance. 2 minutes later, smoking a cigarette.
Oh, yeah.
I sent him out. Like, you're gone, bro.
Yeah, you know,
don't even come back. And that's the reality.
People, it's when you put them up against the work, and you really find out a lot about people. I mean, kind of like with skateboarding too. You know, it's like you can
The worst part is his bro.
Easy going, but when you get any pressure,
he's really he rips, man. You should like we should let him hang because he's really good. And it's like that's not enough. Bro.
Did you ever see him skate?
No, I never seen the guy again. I sent him, and that's how it was.
Yeah, so tell me about the interaction, right, and the racial component of what you're doing. You're knocking in somebody's door, and they're usually black, and you're white, and you offer to fix something for them, which is historically the opposite, right? Interaction is the black, you know, serving the whites. So what happens in that moment?
You know, you have to be honest. You can't beat around the bush with this stuff. So all you can do is throw it out, and it's completely crazy. And they're either the kind of people that are just have a little looser take on life that are like, "What? Sure, let's talk about this," or they say, "Beat it," you know. And you know, I mean, and honestly, there is like this racial thing. We like to think that these people are, you know, the black folks are so cool with us. And when we get a white person answer the door, we're almost like, fuck, this isn't going to be, we're not going to. But then twice they've surprised us too. So it's really, I think it's something in the water in PG County, you know. It's just, I don't know. People are just cool over there.
That lead.
Yeah, so maybe that led. I'll take a drink.
I think this is a good time to take a break. I want to remind everyone that we're interviewing Ben Ashworth and Anthony Smallwood. They're amazing skateboarders and artists, and you are listening to the Dolcezza Sherber Experience.
Original music by Flash Frequency here on Dolcezza Sherbert Experience. We'll be right back.
Everyone, you're listening to the Dolcezza Sherber Experience. We are at the Line Hotel. We're interviewing Ben Ashworth and Anthony Smallwood. They have incredible stories about skateboarding. They're a photographer, Anthony, and Ben is an art professor. And are you a sculptor as well? Are you
yourself
sculpturists? Pardon my English lack of.
The expanded field of sculpture encompasses everything: food, welding, woodworking, traditional forms, but also people. These days, sort of.
Nice.
Yeah.
Am I a sculptor? And I didn't know.
Hey, we're here. We're passing energy back and forth. And
we're sculpting each other in our shared experience.
Some sort of meaningful engagement with the world and rearranging matter, right?
I love that.
One atom at a time, right?
That's right.
So Ben, you're a curator of public art projects. One of the main ones that you have generated was Finding a Line with the Kennedy Center.
That's
so
right.
So tell us about that project.
Oh, wow. Okay. Let me try not to ramble too much. Finding a line is you can trace that. Any skateboarder, surfer, anyone in the world who's passionate about what they do, you know that you're constantly finding solutions to problems as they present themselves. So in the case of a backyard pool, which isn't designed to be skated, but it is like a static wave that has all those stages of a wave beginning and closing, you are reinterpreting that space. Excuse me, I went on a tangent here. What am I saying?
Finding a line.
Okay, so we're finding a line.
You're explaining the title of the project.
Right, right.
He was thinking about surfing.
He was on the wave.
Remember, we're interacting with each other.
Find your line, Ben.
Yeah. I got lost, man. I was skating the city in my mind, and I'm thinking about, so when you're navigating the city, you see beyond the surface of things. And a curb which is designed to stop you becomes something that you ride along the lip of like you would hit the lip of a wave. So you're taking this movement vocabulary of surfing and projecting it on the city. And when you're able to see beyond the surface of things, you're able to negate what it is and generate this sort of super architectural space that theorists talk about.
Okay.
Where you're merging with architecture and you're reimagining matter. I'm quoting Mike High. He always talks about how we just manipulate matter. That might be a quote from someone else. But so when you're finding a line and you're manipulating matter and you're making intuitive decisions, when you're moving through the city or you're riding a wave of energy that's displacing water, you're in tune with the center of the earth and the sense of acceleration, and you can't think in terms of sign and signifier and what the names for all these things are in front of you, and you can move beyond that and experience this sort of
sounds like a mystical experience.
No, but
mystical,
you know,
but between people,
and it forces you to do that, right? I mean, a lot of skating, rock climbing, surfing, it forces
meditating.
You, because if you don't, then you eat shit.
Your line
That's
is
right.
crucial.
That's
yeah.
Right. So, from a social standpoint, it's critical because it allows you to see beyond divisive sorts of ways of people, because you can see
yep.
beyond any kind of preconceived idea you might have of the other, whether they're things or people.
There's no judging, you're saying.
That's right.
Yeah.
And when you work together, you can discover together and experience a more inclusive sort of existence. So that's finding a line for me.
That's like high level
shit.
Yeah.
Garth Ross, Laura Roulet, I gave a talk at Hemp Hill Fine Arts long time ago about the skatable city and turning it into a giant skatable putt-putt from high to low, just like spitting out wild ideas of what I'd really like to do and how skaters navigate the city. Laura Roulet was a local curator who was selected for the DC Arts and Humanities 5x5, which is five curators who select five artists to do temporary public art pieces, selected me to develop a space under a bridge that skaters are already activating. This is a space that is not defined. The space above is. I guess it's 695. But the space beneath is not defined, so it's an autonomous zone that can be anything. And there's lots of creative people down there making films, making skatable structures, doing their b-boy, b-girl thing.
Painting.
Shadow boxing. Barbecue.
What you're talking about, this is current right
that
now?
That was the first version of Finding a Line, and that's when I met Garth Ross. Actually, I met Garth Ross earlier
at Fight Club. The ends of Fight Club,
and
yeah.
He sensed this explosive energy and this sort of synergy between artists of varied media coming together and discovering new forms of cultural production. He said, I want to bring this to Millennium Stage, and he was forward-thinking enough to do it.
That comes to the Kennedy Center.
Comes to the Kennedy Center, and we figured out how to do a 10-day festival where rather than having this performer and audience, this sort of passive engagement where you choreograph something, practice it over and over and over, it's sort of an artifact at that point rather than a living conversation. So we shifted it to audience as participant where over 10 days you can show up, and if you want to dance and get up and play music and skate, you're not sitting in the audience, you're out. And some people they just couldn't wrap their head around it. They're like, who are these people performing? They're like, that's Rozell from up in D.C.
So
he's out there doing
that's
his
what
thing.
Finding a Line was at the Kennedy Center.
Yeah, so
I mean, you put the bowl there, but
I'm wearing the shirt now. On the back of it, it says Skate Ambassador. And any skateboarder who came and wanted to help and who would consistently show up and help, you hand them that shovel, you hand them that drill, that guitar, that brush.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah, it's just like,
that's
all right,
really, really
if you're
cool.
going to show it's up like, and do it, we're going
to
keep doing it. And
all
and
access
it was really
open
super risky for the Kennedy Center, but I have to really commend Deborah Rutter and Garth Ross and his whole team. And I mean, it's crazy. So now we've taken it to the city, and the D.C. Office of Planning has embraced it. And we're trying to develop these Finding a Line stages around the city where you can have a convergence of students working and apprenticing with professional filmmakers like Chris Tuss and professional photographers, food makers like you guys are going to sponsor what we're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if we embrace food as a valid form of contemporary cultural production to address a world that's kind of gone wrong, you know? You yeah. guys support local growers. I remember I stopped by. Oh, you yeah. had watermelon gelato for me and my sister. That was so
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
And you're talking about, I don't know, I'm just talking about grassroots solutions.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was
which
a long-winded
is, which
response.
Is something that's so, yeah. to me, all this stuff that you're talking about, you know, at high levels and low levels, it just, you know, sets off so many alarms. Because probably we're born around the same time, more or less.
74.
Yeah, 72. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, this was the world, more of the world that we grew up in.
Right.
Which
right.
overnight, it's changing at such a radical pace. And I'm not saying it's all a negative change, because it's a spectrum with everything. There's good and mm-hmm. there's positive and negative with everything. But it's just so much of this way of doing it, do it yourself, personal,
yeah.
and, you know, not the audience mm-hmm. and the performer. It's all merged together. That
right.
that just seems to be, it's
the
really hard
Instagram.
To find those
right.
experiences and those types of people and that way of doing things. So it's more and more difficult to me.
Well, we're doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. No.
I think it seems very natural for
yeah.
those of us sitting in the room, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
Really
so,
cool.
so you had also an element of jazz, right? You had a jazz musician improvising.
Yeah, Jason Moran, the
uh-huh.
jazz coordinator,
and he's also
coordinator
a skateboarder,
at the Kennedy
right?
Center. Yeah, yeah. I think he's worried about busting his hands up a little bit more than when he was a kid growing up in Texas. But yeah, he totally gets it. And when I said I wanted to skate on a Steinway, he said, "Yeah, let's skate on a Steinway." And that was one of the culminating moments of the whole event. When dude flies out and does a 5-0 grind on the Steinway and then falls back in the ramp, it's just like,
so tell me the Steinway.
Yeah,
the Steinway?
Yeah, explain
Steinway
to
piano.
Those who
you did that. At the
we reinterpreted the Steinway. We added another dimension.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Wow.
So that's
I
the whole
that.
Theme of improvising, right? And just doing sessions and whatever happens.
Yeah,
in that space.
It's like two turntables and a microphone.
Right.
That's
right.
If somebody reinterpreting
Where's that.
Where's that?
That's right.
So you, Ben, you're also the co-founder of the DC Greenskate Laboratory.
Yes.
So tell us about that project.
GSO, right? Landing
Park.
Oh,
Lord. Yeah, that was tangential from Vans also. There's a group of educators, artists, makers who came together, and Terry Nostrand, who's a DC teacher, was really interested. She had been studying rammed earth construction and in her studies in college, and she was teaching DC youth, and we would brainstorm after sessions at the E-Crew house in Woodbridge. And her husband's a builder, grew up on a farm, Chris Nostrand, aka Crap. He's kind of an ornery guy, kind of rough. That's a rough nickname.
He's awesome.
Yeah. But they had this idea of building some sort of rammed earth structure, and we would brainstorm, and we eventually came upon, well, I was really interested in Samuel Mockbee's rural studios in southern Alabama, where he teaches architecture students to build houses for folks that can't afford houses down there out of recasting cast-off material.
Hmm.
So they built a tire chapel, and I saw that, and I was thinking, what? You can build with tires like you build with brick? So we did that with Green Skate Lab. Green Skate Lab is built out of 3,000 tires pulled out of the Anacostia. We pitched it at Anacostia and surrounding neighborhoods. We joined forces with Andy Neal, John Bulldog, Anthony Smallwood, so many people that wanted to be a force of positive change. And for a kind of homogeneous, boring skate park construction going on. And we came together and built that. And we pitched it as an outdoor exploratory environmental science and physics classroom. So Terry is great at getting grants. That's good language. And it's true. It collects water. We still haven't built stage two, which is the rain garden.
To have the drain off go to a garden?
That's right. That impervious
brilliant.
Surface.
That's
but yeah, is that a fair assessment of the history of that, Anthony?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think so,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think the city told these guys, I think they gave them initially like a tennis court or an abandoned
We
something.
Lost two sites, three sites.
They were
sites
like,
we
you
got.
Can't huh. dig down, you can only go up. And Ben didn't want to build a wooden ramp, so he's like, how are we going to build a concrete bowl up? And then Sam Mockbee, you know, the inspiration took off.
Right, and we saw the FDR. They were building the same way. That was some of the
FDR, crew. That's Philadelphia?
Yeah, under 95.
Yeah.
Beautiful living blueprint of just this expanding sort of... Oh,
I lived back in... I was in Portland from 98 to 2000. So that's the first transition that I ever, tried to skate. It's not so smooth, you know, just because it is the whole do-it-yourself. It's changed now, right?
You feel the learning curve.
I had a job doing software, and I would go into the office Monday through Friday and this and that. And I just remember the second time that I tried to drop in on that, I just smashed my face in the concrete, and I had a whole black eye from trying to learn transition and Burnside.
Mark Hubbard and Red Scott. I don't know those guys. I never met them, but huge, so inspiring. They're building amazing parks all over the country now.
The Dreamland people?
I think it's there's different factions. Dreamland, Grindland. I hope I'm not misrepresenting. But
yeah, I don't know much.
So
about
inspiring.
It's tough on the body. You were talking about injuries.
Because of Ben and I don't know how involved Anthony was in putting the bowl and Union Market and the Gallaudet abandoned lot. But because of Ben, I mean, I skated all my life, and then I kind of I've had three kids, and that's never an excuse, but always a reason to. I got out of it a little bit, and I started getting back on it like 2-3 years ago when we'd go to the park and they'd have their scooters, and so I would just ride my bowl on my board to the park in the neighborhood. And then all of a sudden one day from the factory I see these big machines or tractors or whatever coming in and with parts of a skate ramp, and then that's when I went across the street and was like, what's going on? And then that was the whole explanation. That was the bowl from Finding the Line at Kennedy Center,
right? And right now I got to plug some people.
Yeah, plug
Dave
all.
Dave Mutarelli, Brian Landgrover, and Devin McGuire, who worked on The Punisher at Skatopia. We all collaborated on that. And Dave was the lead builder. He's like a math genius, where I'm a more organic scribe line builder.
He's the one that was kind of the carpenter there, putting everything together.
He was the lead carpenter because I'm a sloppy. If you ever went to Fight Club, man, there was...
organic.
You were riding on plexiglass, steel,
beer keg.
We skated a keg that if you spun it really, really fast, it became a sphere.
That's incredible.
We had keg coping, the biggest coping ever. That came from our beer sponsor, Jason Oliver, who went on to start Devil's Backbone.
Yeah. I mean, you're kind of in an indirect way. You're responsible for getting me back into skateboarding. And I was always a street skater, and I would build boxes here and there. College campus in Atlanta, Georgia Tech, was like one of my favorite places to skate just because it's so much terrain. But I never really skated transition. And now what
Isn't
I tell Violetta, if I knew then what I know
now,
I would be pro. I mean, because transition, man, it's like...
Too late
more,
for that.
It's more forgiving, which is in 72. Yeah.
Isn't it like
I skateboarded, snowboarded, wakeboarded. I bought my first surfboard 2 years ago in Uruguay, where we go every year. Yeah. So I don't technically surf yet, but that's my plan. My retirement plan is growing old surfing.
I want to get on that.
Is
train
that what
with
you guys want to do?
Yeah.
You want to skateboard forever until your body can take it?
I mean, Anthony's the last time I saw you were in a sling for your shoulder.
Yeah, I'll be in one later. I didn't need to wear it into the studio, but I'll
that's
have it
from
later.
That's from skateboarding,
skating, surfing, snowboarding, lifestyle stuff.
Yeah,
adding up over the years.
Have to adjust, right? To be, because I think now how I skate, when I go skating every day in the bowl, it's like I skate different now than I used to. I mean, just like more sustainable way of skating, so I can do this for the long haul. Where in the past, when you're young, you don't think about the timeline in the future. You just go at it and charge. And that's why youth has that explosion, and that's why a lot of the up and coming of whatever it is like so much youth because the energy's there. But
Falling is a way of knowing.
Yeah, and you learn. You know, there's a learning going on to falling too. To learn how to fall.
I can fall way better than I can skate.
It kind of goes. Yeah, it is.
Seen him. I saw him do a move on a downhill. So we were coming. He actually came out at a race, And I was following him because I just, like, you know, I wanted to check out his style and watch him. But we were hauling ass on this road, Cheryl, up off Rock Creek Park. And at the very end, there's a gate that's closed. So you either have to go under the gate and guys kind of funnel through. There's only one real spot to do it. And Ben didn't really know the funnel. So he kind of just cut off to the left into this grassy area at like 40 miles an hour and just launched with his feet straight out in like a sitting position, landed on his ass in the grass, and then slid across the grass like 30 feet. Like the ride continued. It was pretty rad. So he does wipe out really well.
I've seen it several times in the bowl. That's awesome.
Learning from falling. Yeah. I love that.
Right. You know, also my two of my three girls, my 8-year-old and soon to be 6-year-old, for the last 8 months also, I couple times a week after school, I go to the bowl with them and forever have just sat there and pushed them back and forth. And they hit the long transition, go back on the flat. I push them to the mm-hmm. other transition. And just like in the last 3 weeks, they learned the pump on their own, on this, doing it the short way. So they've, and it was an awesome thing of a click. You know, you could see after pushing at it for 8 months. And again, it's not me sitting there making them skate. They actually enjoyed the activity of skating. But it was really cool to see after 8 months of just kind of going back and forth, getting comfortable with transition, this click happened with the pumping, you know, and you could see it in their eyes that they really
and
got it.
And people are still surprised to see little girls skateboarding, you know, it's still a very, well, I mean, it's
made. Yeah, there was a girl that came in the other day skate there, and she couldn't believe that Payman, all of her skating. She was like, can I take a picture, please? Send it to her roommate or whatever.
Did you have girls at Fight Club? I mean, do you interact with a bunch of girls?
One of her main members. Yeah. But we also had
Steph Murdoch.
Mm-hmm. But Tatiana, who runs Spacey Cloud, which just opened a space right down
up
the street.
Adams Morgan.
She brings out her whole crew. And, yeah, there's a lot of girls.
You know, for everybody listening, so we've started talking about this on email like several weeks ago, because the factory's right across the street from this awesome bowl, the Finding a Lion bowl that was at the Kennedy Center. And then Max at Gallaudet is also involved. So what we're planning on doing, we open the factory today at 11 o'clock. So in the next month, is the plan is on every Friday from noon to 5, something like that, to we'll open the doors of the factory already, and then we'll also have the gates open at the Gallaudet lot, so you can come and skate the bowl. And then if you bring your board, if you're from Gallaudet, you get some kind of discount on the coffee and the soft serve at the factory. But we'll announce all of this, but this is something that we're talking about currently to try to launch and do.
Okay, well,
we can go, you can
let
chime
me just
in.
Pitch something right now. So I'm teaching an artist social action class next semester in the fall, and it's also cross-listed as a public art project class. The first two projects, we're going to be developing spaces on campus at GMU. It's an all-day Friday course. The second half, my proposal is that we come and work with professionals of varied media to develop the space across from you all.
That'd be great.
And have different types of programming and synergies with institutions with similar mission statements and local folks that are looking for.
It'll be amazing. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this all the time, but just like in 5 minutes, hey, how you doing? And then it kind of gets home.
Well, we do it.
So.
I mean, I'm out there every Friday cutting the grass and fixing things, and you always come over when you can.
Yeah.
I know you said you got
I got three girls, all under the age of 8. So
I am the fourth one.
It's hardcore. So, you know, it's like, and then her mother also.
So let's have a girl skate. Yeah. It's just like, hey, we have adult swim, 40 and over sometimes, and then we'll have a girl skate. I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas.
Yeah. We can do whatever we want, you know.
That's right.
That would be awesome.
Improvising.
Yeah.
So you want to close with sampling the sherbet?
So I just bought. So with this whole, this is Dolcezza's sherbet experience. So we just joked last week or the week before saying we should bring sherbet every time to sample.
Do you guys know what a sherbet is? It's a mix of gelato and sorbetto. So it's
It's got an ice cream fruit with a little bit of milk and cream in it. So this is the blood orange sherbet. So
terrible.
We'll try it.
Yeah. So thank you so much, guys. It's been wonderful
talking
you
guys,
to you.
There's so much more to like.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
To go in so many different directions, but appreciate you guys coming in and sitting with us and sharing all the experiences and Fight Club, Finding Line.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to keep talking, but I hope that the scene here in D.C. is as good as it was when you guys did Fight Club.
Oh, yeah.
How is the D.C. skate scene?
Oh, my God. The local
currently.
Cats, the younger cats now are on fire. They got backyard stuff going on. They show up and help. They pack it in and pack it out, and they're hungry. Hungry for it.
There's one thing. I comment all this stuff to Bialetta, but there's always something that's I find it similar thing with chefs is there's just in general you always have assholes in anything, but something about skateboarders, you know, when you kind of hanging out at the bowl, skating at the bowl, and then somebody comes and crawls under the fence there at Gallaudet or whatever. Mm-hmm. 99% of the time, they're really interesting, cool characters.
Oh,
is
yeah.
there something, again, it's the activity of skating that filters out the weak or the ones that are not really that into it. Because, again,
yeah.
you eat shit. And it's yeah. like if only you will stay around if you really, truly love it, like in a deep place, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's an awesome activity to have. That's, yeah. to me, that goes beyond the... the physical activity of skateboarding. There's something existential that happens
sure.
to me in skateboarding. And I watch when I skate after like 10, 15, 20 minutes. There's this thing as you come slowly out of your head and more down into your body and you just kind of drop down into this flow. Mm-hmm. There's this place, there's this way of doing it that's not, it's in between the tension and the relaxation. Mm-hmm. That's just the perfect line,
a flow experience,
way
yeah.
to ride it, you know, and you watch it so clearly that when you are in that state that's not trying, but that you're tense enough to stand up on your board and ride the transition, everything that you do just is like perfectly smooth, you know. It's like, and
yeah.
it's every once in a while you touch on it and you drop into it. I love that state.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yo, amen.
Find a line.
Let's do it.
Fight
hey, this club. Gelato. Oh, excuse me, sherbet.
Oh, yeah.
Am I saying it right?
Yeah, sherbet.
Sherbet.
Oh, it's tart and creamy.
Yeah,
it's
blood
like
orange
right
sherbet on the menu.
How
all
about
Dolcetta.
It?
Dolcetta Sherbet Radio.
Thank you so much,
right.
guys, again.
Thank you.
Thanks
thank
for
you.
Having us.
Yeah.
Bye.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.